Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Hypotheticals Podcast, Season 3. I'm Adriano.
I'm Andy, and this episode is not sponsored by Bill Gates. Yet. Adriano, I have been thinking about how we can revolutionise the music industry. We are revolutionaries on this podcast. We've already revolutionised cinema. What else have we revolutionised? I can't remember, really.
We revolutionarily combined restaurants with roller coasters at one point. And
of course,
I think we took to task the hotel and accommodation sector as well.
Game shows.
Yes.
Now the natural progression would seem to be the music industry. It's had its ups and downs over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Early 2000s, not a good period for it, with lots of illegal streaming. But now it seems to be getting back up there.
They're too comfortable, honestly. It's overdue for a shake-up.
What can we do to get it to the next level?
That's a great question. And I'm immediately reminded that a few days ago, I discovered a random website. I think it was on the subreddit, Internet is Beautiful. And this was, it generates, I can't tell you the website, sorry, listeners, you'll have to look it up. I do apologize. But if you're interested, it creates, and I hadn't heard of this specific subgenre of music, but I think it was called acid techno.
Okay.
And this website will generate music for you from this subgenre, basically. You load it up and it's just a bunch of toggles and switches and things, and you can slide the tempo slider if you want. You can move this and it'll do this, but if you just leave everything as it is, it will just start making a song for you. And when I say song, it's just a simple electronica song.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of genres where it's just about the beat, and you just go with the beat. And it layers and stuff.
Exactly. And so on the one hand, it's well, that's not that impressive, man. And on the other hand, it's okay, but I'm going to dunk on DJs now because I'm a mean person.
And you love basketball.
That's right. And I combine these two things. A disc jockey back in the day, right, when you had to have an extensive vinyl collection, presumably you had to be really good at filing and manipulating these big discs, and you had to manipulate a physical turntable and everything. We can all agree it's declined somewhat, because there's now the common joke that you mean the guy who hits space on his MacBook Pro? It's changed. And that's because as music has become digital, a lot of stuff has gotten a lot easier. In order to make a beat back in the day, you had to tap your foot in rhythm. Now you can just hit a button and the machine will make a beat forever. Some stuff has been automated, and the compiling of playlists and all the rest of it, Spotify does that now. And this website will compile beats and, repetitions and within a certain framework, the algorithm will make unique music for you that nobody has heard before. So that's one possible future, because this genre of techno is simple, but maybe one day they'll be writing whole symphonies.
Yeah, you'll get to a situation where the music industry is not signing artists anymore, it's signing algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's we got Beat 2.0, and that's now our signature algorithm, and it's generated all of this this music, which is now on Radio 1 or whatever. Then that might be where because at the moment, a lot of streaming services, it's what's the real difference? You all have the same music.
Right.
But if you actually own an algorithm yourself and no one else has access to it, then that could be a good money spinner.
Because they love exclusivity, right? That used to be the deal. You signed with this label, we get to distribute your stuff. And I think that was the dream of things like Spotify, was that they would have these artists and no one else would have them. But they're kind of all fishing from the same pond these days, right? More or less. Nobody picks one or the other because of the exclusive so much as just preferring the app, I think.
Yeah, I've yet to unless it's quite obscure, I can find most music on one of these. I don't really see the need for two.
Yeah. So they lost the opportunity to screw over the consumer that way, though no doubt they tried. So this is the way that it goes. And what I wonder is, would we then, because you've seen this, there's at least one artificial pop star in Japan, right? She's an anime girl. They do projections and holograms and stuff.
Yeah, and we had like gorillas.
Exactly.
Were just cartoons over here. Yeah.
Yeah. So the logic of like music being generated by a committee or like by an algorithm or whatever, and then being ascribed to this like artificial artist, that already exists. And maybe we enjoy that like interpersonal relationship, which is always fake, let's be honest. Like, no public figure that we feel things for even knows about our existence as common mortals. So mm-hmm. why not just take it to the next step? And it's like, yeah, the algorithm doesn't care about you, obviously, but we've assigned it this specific like emoticon. God, how old am I? emoji is what I meant. Those are the fun new emoticons the kids are talking about. Or, you know, like a more complex, like 3D holographic avatar or whatever, and you give it a name and you give it a personality, and then you own that pop star in a way that, you know, distribution, like publishers have always wanted to.
Yeah, you know, in advance, you can control it. Whereas, with damn people, they have, you know, their own personalities and stuff, which gets in the way of creating the most profitable music.
Yeah, it's inefficient. You need all these middlemen. You need their family to like be on side and to exploit them properly. You need like the right cocktail of drugs to keep them like just on the edge of the catastrophe curve, and you know. And then when they get the DUIs and all the rest of it, you have to either pay money to sweep it under the rug, or presumably you have to pay money to like whip the press up into a lather so that then you can do that. It's a whole thing, and you could do it easier if, yeah, you could just tell them when their life needed to go off the rails in, mm-hmm. like, an explosive fashion, and when they need to dial it back.
Yeah. Although you wouldn't want your algorithm, you know, going off the rails, hijacking one of these self-driving cars, going for a joyride, ending up in a police station database.
Well, I love that. They'd have to incarcerate it, like, within the police database.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no cell could hold it. That might be the next level, because every time, like, every generation makes their own version of punk, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not specifically the punk genre, but like,
as in like steampunk, cyberpunk.
Well, as in like, because the message of punk is like, screw you, old man, basically, right? Like,
yeah,
society,
yeah.
We hate society, grr, we're doing things differently. And every generation does that. So we get the first generation of entirely artificial artists, you know, who have controlled outbursts in the media and all the rest of it. And then after that, people won't care anymore. So you'll need to have one that like has a certain amount of autonomy. And then what they do is like genuinely raw and surprising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To get those, get past the cynicism of people about the first wave, which is now very boring and old.
Exactly. Because we've gotten used to like the fact that every artist above a certain threshold has like a publicist and like people, you know, an agent and all the rest of it. That's like accepted. But like if someone doesn't and like they're real and raw and from the heart, you know, like a SoundCloud rapper or whatever, then that adds to their mystique.
Well, to take it in the opposite of a futuristic techno direction, I've been thinking. We kind of touched on this a little bit in our hipster episode eons ago, but there's been a renaissance of the record player recently. Obviously, people want to return to like a more analog world, make it more of an experience rather than just pressing play on your computer or whatever. So the logical next step from that is to start producing what we had before records, which are wax phonograph cylinders. I don't know if you know about these.
I don't. Tell me more.
So these are like the earliest form of recorded music that we have. From like, I think it was between kind of 1890 and 1915 is when they were first kind of introduced.
Wow.
They are literally kind of a cylinder, maybe 10 inches long, made of like, I think completely of wax in some cases. They can only hold about one or two songs on each cylinder. And they're very vulnerable to things like melting in hot countries, or to going mouldy in humid conditions, which is obviously not great. But it is the original form of recorded music that we have. If you want the old school, usually quite crackly. I mean, the audio is not that different from like early records, but. If you want that extra step, so you could, like, hey, you got a record player, you don't get as good bass as on my phonograph over here. That's what you go to.
I like that because, actually, yeah, I'm gonna compare and contrast with the AI thing here, because the magic of the website I was talking about is that, like, nobody has heard this track before because it's being procedurally generated for you right now, right? Like in mm-hmm. video games that generate a map for you that, you know, nobody else has explored. So what we have now is music that is too easy to reproduce and spread, and everyone hears exactly the same song, more or less, depending on your headphones and stuff, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. But it's too good now. We need to add those limiters, like, have you heard of non-fungible tokens, NFTs?
Oh, I think so. Remind me what these are.
I understand them to approximately the same degree that I understand what a Bitcoin is, so, like, not great.
So they are a bit like Bitcoin, aren't they? Except each one's unique, is that right?
Yeah, I would say that they basically fall within the same umbrella of, like, absolute BS. that this generation of history has come up with that would just absolutely flummox our, like, great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's making money, so why wouldn't you? Yeah, so basically a non-fungible token, and my crude understanding is that fungible commodities are interchangeable stuff. So, like, a bar of gold is the same as any other bar of gold, right? But, mm-hmm. like, a plane ticket isn't fungible because it has, like, a specific date and destination. It corresponds to, like, a specific plane seat. You can't just swap them.
Right.
And normally, like, say it's your job, as it is for many people online these days, to produce, like, JPEGs, essentially. Like, since artwork has gone digital, like, back in the day, there's one Mona Lisa, right?
Yeah.
And it is therefore worth a lot more than even the most high-definition, like, scan and reprint of the Mona Lisa that you might buy on a poster or whatever. It's mm-hmm. the original. There's only one. The guy painted this one, sort of thing. So in a world of digital art, how the heck do you reclaim that lost value? Because, you know, I can just get this printed on a million t-shirts and they'll be identical. No, 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 says the inventor of non-fungible tokens. They've figured out a way. And just imagine, like, a sequence of keywords like blockchain and mm-hmm. Bitcoin and secure server and, you know, whatever. Just imagine that those convey some kind of meaning, because at this point, my understanding totally runs out. But they
So basically, they've found a way that they've made one online.
Thank you.
And you are the owner of this one, and no one else can recreate it.
Precisely. Like, and right. I assume the first thing they did was make, like, the rarest of Pepes. I don't know, because wasn't that a whole thing for a while?
Yeah, I swear I saw, like, a version of Nyan Cat or something, which had gone for, I don't know, $700,000. And I was like, what?
There we go.
This is a pixel art which a child could make. What is happening? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Why is this worth so much money?
Because it's you own that specific one and it's just rarity value, I guess. Yeah, because you can then determine how many of them there are in existence and then you can prove that you have that one. So precious. Yeah. So anyway, the point was, if the algorithm is capable of generating, you know, an almost infinite amount of new music, when you load up that playlist on Spotify or whatever, you might not be playing existing songs arranged in a list. You might just be playing songs of this genre that nobody's ever heard, right? And if you're like, oh yeah, I liked that, favorite it, you're the only person who has that track. Or, you know, right. They can charge a premium then, right? And you can, like, save that track. Otherwise, the music is transient and ephemeral, and it will you so, listen to it once and
so
it disappears.
We're returning to radio, sort of.
Yeah, actually, I hadn't thought of that, but why not? Wax cylinders that easily go moldy, radio, like music that is hard to capture, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, one of the podcasts that I listen to is one called Hello Internet. And they actually, first of all, they made a podcast episode on a record to make it exclusivity.
Wow.
So there's records out, they only had a limited run, so there are records out there which are presumably worth quite a lot now, with their podcast episode that they recorded. And then to go a step further, they recorded a 5-minute podcast episode on a wax cylinder, which presumably basically wow. No one can play because no one owns a phonograph. But they made those as well.
How large is a phonograph?
The actual machine. I'm not sure. It's probably
like compared to a gramophone, like, is it like similar, comparable,
slightly larger, I think, but they're just less common because no one uses them anymore.
Okay, but it's not like you need enough space for a grand piano in your house because that's of okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
we should do that, Andy. That's how we finally monetize the Hypotheticals podcast.
Yeah, each of our listeners, if you just paid $200, will have $200 at the end of this. Anyway, so this phonograph, I've been thinking about it, it's still too techie for me. What I want instead is for electricity to not be involved at all.
Mm.
So instead, you can get these hand-cranked organs. They're quite small, kind of...
For the monkey to dance to.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about, right? Like a music box.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, so they're kind of, I don't know, like printer-sized, I guess. And you crank the handle and the music... It's either a barrel and it kind of turns, or it's like a long sheet of paper with holes punched in.
Mm-hmm.
So you as the record company, the music company, can sell these sheets of music, and then it's up to the person who has the organ to hand crank it through. And you know, you can personalize the music because you can make it very fast, you can make it very slow. Each sheet is presumably slightly different. And it just gives that very, you know, like tactile feel.
It's organic.
To the music. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, presumably the paper, you could make it so it breaks quite easily, so they have to buy it again.
Yeah, which is, you know, as we know from the light bulb industry, and razor blades, just like really sound business sense. And it, yep. It would once again glorify the disc jockey, right? Because like cranking out those tunes to like to club volume, I am assuming you'd need a really big organ to grind.
Yeah, and also you could like, that would be another thing they could do. They could stitch together different sheets of music.
Yeah.
So like, you know, they're physically cutting in different music. And so even if they're not like doing it live, or maybe they are doing it live, they're like, ah, I fancy doing it like this. They cut it off.
Whole different skill set, right? They are like hot and swapping like, them.
Yeah, you get a load of DJs who used to be tailors or seamstresses.
Yeah.
Because they're the only ones who can like stitch it together quickly enough.
That would return so much artistry to it.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be combination DJ booth and like stage show, because like maybe you'd need a stage with like several of these giant organ machines, and they can like, you know, flip between them, crank these handles, and then there's like a high speed, you know, like transition, like, oh, they're getting to the edge of the song, and oh no, he's fading that other one in on that, you know, he's got like one hand cranking this thing over here, the other hand is frantically changing sheets of paper. It would be incredible.
Or like you've got to like plan like 20 bars ahead so that you have enough time to stitch it on.
Yeah.
So like it requires this incredible mental agility to actually figure out where you are in the song, what's coming up, which handles to crank. That'd be
physical
great.
Dexterity and just raw muscular strength, because like the sheer size of the machines I'm envisioning.
One giant bicep like that arm wrestling guy.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that's a callback.
But wait, there's another step that we could take. This is still too much technology for me. I don't like it.
Okay.
Let's get rid of the machinery altogether. Instead of having a dirty modern device in your home, just introduce house bands who literally live in your house.
Oh, yes.
So the music industry just sends sheets of, you know, sheet music to your house, which you place in front of the band, and then they play it with varying degrees of success, like depending on whether they've actually played it before.
A whole new definition for house music.
Yeah, exactly.
I am so on board. In fact, I had exactly the same thought. Basically, like, music has gone from, like, tribal, like, this is a thing we do, like, not to be good, but to, like, produce music together. We're all going to dance around the campfire and, you know, bang the drums and so on. To, like, okay, no, musician's going to be a profession now. We're going to have, like, traveling minstrels and stuff hired by the great lords of the land and whatnot. To eventually, like... the music experience is like either just so diffuse and commercialized that you can just have infinite songs on your phone whenever you like, or you go to a stadium packed with 10,000 other people listening to the same thing, right? And it's just lost all intimacy, and we can recapture that, yeah, right in your own house with you know your own string quartet or you know local garage band made up of surly teenagers or whatever.
Yeah, and it's great because the music gets better the more it gets played. Which, you know, your iPod doesn't do that, does it? Although the disadvantage is that it might start off pretty rubbish. but yeah, like, people can already be quite snobby about the brand and price of record players and that sort of thing.
Headphones,
in terms of, like,
no doubt.
Oh, I need to get better audio fidelity and stuff like that. So this would give you a great opportunity for snobbery because... If you don't pay enough for your house band, you can really tell. Like,
right, like your bassist between the... is not up to scratch.
Yeah, like, if you pay top dollar, it's like amazing sound quality. You're like, you know, oh, Steve, do you want to come over mine? I've got just got the new house band in. cost set me back about 10 grand. Just to, you know, just for the original signing bonus. But you should hear the tunes that this guy cranks out. And then you're there with your just out of high school college graduates.
Yeah, it's just like you and a couple of buddies jamming, and people are like, no, you gotta this isn't like you called me over for the Yeah, and we're running out of things to show off like that. Like home cinemas and stuff, like, we're all set to be huge, I think, but now it's like TVs are getting bigger, but also VR is gonna be a thing. So, like, are we even gonna care about having a home cinema, right? When everyone just has a pair of goggles, mm-hmm. is it gonna be maybe VR things are gonna be the ones I don't know, but why not introduce just an extra luxury good to really, just cream off people's disposable income, of which there is so much.
We gotta squeeze out of them somehow.
We do, and in fact, I think we could really amp things to the next level by reintroducing the idea of patronage by the wealthy and powerful.
Ah, okay.
Right?
Yeah,
so
that's good.
You used to have your feudal lords or whatever, your great lords and ladies would, like, pay a stipend to, you know, minstrels of particular skill, and then they would have to wear their colours. They'd be, like, on retainer to, like, come by and play for their balls and soirees.
But write songs about them.
Exactly. And then when they played elsewhere, is, like, known. They're like, "Oh, listen to how good this guy is. Yeah, he works for me," sort of thing.
Right.
So I want Bezos, Musk, you know, Gates, all of them to just have, like, hundreds of musicians on retainer, and we can do away with this whole notion of like the idea that billionaires don't own us, you know.
Yeah.
Like this fantasy that we exist in, forget about it. We can just really bring it to the fore, and some things might actually be improved, right? Because, like, the corporations are trying to pretend that they're not there, in that they will exploit your teenage heartthrobs or whatever, but, like, you don't know the name of Justin Bieber's agent, or,
you know
about Justin Bieber, and they pretend that you're having a relationship with Justin Bieber by being his super fan, but actually you're just, like, engaging in this tentacular corporate machine with him as a figurehead.
Gosh, I better reconsider my fascination with Justin Bieber at this point.
I'm sorry to all believers out there. That's my truth as I see it. I could be wrong. But, you know, like, I feel like if Elon Musk owns pop stars, he's going to tweet about it. You're going to know. You know, when Donald Trump has musicians, like, singing his songs, you're going to know about it. And so we can just peel back that veil and stop lying to ourselves and demand that... Because we already go to musicians, actors, sports people, influencers of any kind, celebrities from entertainment. We go to them for their political opinions.
Yeah.
Which I've always found interesting. Page Three Girls. To anyone not from the UK, Page Three of The Sun. Actually, I don't even know about these days. Is Page Three still a thing?
I think it might have gone, which is a relief.
That's a step forward. Good stuff. Well, anyway, at least when I was growing up, that was where they put the topless model. And they would have a little box where she would, like, tell you her views on the news for the week as well. Which, like, I'm sure, you know, she's lovely and entitled to her own opinion and so on. But, like, this is ostensibly a newspaper. And I say ostensibly because we're talking about The Sun, which is an absolute rag. But the idea...
Allegedly.
Sorry. But, like, in theory, they're hiring experienced journalists to, like, have worthwhile takes on what's going on. And then they hire someone for a totally unrelated reason, see topless model, and then ask her about the news as well. And I always feel like there's a bit of a disconnect when they ask, you know, like, a singer or whatever, or an actor, like, so what's your take on this? And it's like, are they have a platform, sure, but, like, are they informed? Should we be listening to this person? Is there any value? And the answer is no, but we do anyway. So why not just admit it, and then we can have all these musicians singing the praises of Bill Gates And, you know, and all taking political stances of various kinds and then dueling it out in battle to the bands. And I think it would make election campaigns and stuff a lot more interesting.
Yeah, you'd have these actual kind of rap battles, this sort of war between artists. It would get very intense.
Probably, yeah.
That's the new stage of warfare, which we haven't considered. It's not robotics as the next frontier. It's music.
Wouldn't that be great, though? You know, like, that's the real raw, powerful stuff, and also just a lot less bloody.
Yeah, well, that might drive you insane a bit, like, just constant blaring music.
Have you listened to chart music recently? Like, there's an argument to be made that there's some insanity already being perpetuated.
Well, speaking of kind of patronage, then, this idea is a bit off the wall. So I was thinking we could change the music industry, or at least add an aspect to it, which is more like the Olympics. So first of all, only amateurs can take part.
Ooh.
So musicians can't be paid professionally for their music, and so they must instead raise money either through patronage, like you suggested, or through government grants, or through corporate sponsorships, kind of what you also were saying. So like the Sex Pistols, kindly supported by Dulux Paint. various things like that. And yeah, in addition, there's a musical Olympics every 4 years, which musicians train for.
Yeah.
There's different categories based on genre. So there's things you can compete for medals on, things which could be stuff like fastest song, which has to be kind of in the correct tempo, the highest key song, the loudest song, the best live performance, or it could even be more of a combination with the Olympic events as they stand.
Ooh.
So it could be like you're doing a marathon, but you're carrying your cello with you. or it's a relay race, but the instruments are passed between runners who must continue to play throughout the race.
That's, I can picture people running, their necks all, you know, hunched over so they can keep playing a violin and then passing off the bow as a baton to the next person.
Yeah, or like a flute where it's, you know, that looks very much like a baton anyway.
Oh,
and they're running along like desperately
panting,
out of breath,
yeah.
So trying to play a woodwind instrument, or, you know, I don't know if it's woodwind because it's metal. Anyway, a flute. And they're like, yeah, passing that on and they got to carry on.
That would be so good. Yeah, and you'd have like endurance type ones. Like, you could have like musical triathlons and things.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking you could do shot put xylophone. So it's like, it's team based, this one.
Yeah.
You've got a load of abandoned musicians who must work together to play a song by hurling balls of metal at a giant xylophone like 15 meters away.
That would be incredible. I'm pretty sure I remember it was like a Someone's Got Talent, like game show type dealio. And I think the guy, I think it was a giant xylophone, unless it was done electronically somehow with like a projection. But anyway, he was tossing like bouncy balls at the ground and then catching them, like in rapid succession, like bing, 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 and like hitting notes on this like xylophone on the ground and playing a tune thus.
Amazing.
Yeah. So just, expand that. Amazing. Like, what else could you do? Could you turn a discus into an instrument of some kind? And then if you throw enough of them at once, it would make a chord.
You could, yeah, because obviously you could have it so like maybe as air whistles through some holes in the discus,
right?
It makes a different note. So you've got different size discuses.
Yeah.
And you're, yeah, there's, again, it has to be a whole team, but throwing them out and, yeah, trying to make a song out of it. The other one is like boxing or fencing. So like each competitor has a different note which plays for a different body part.
Oh,
so
they're in like a special suit.
Yeah, so, like, you got to hit them, like, to make the best tune is part of it. So you've got to, like, hit them in the head and then the chest. And then it's about blocking as well. And, like, so
to throw off
their
tempo.
Song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's less about, like, I don't want to get concussed. And more about, like, I'm going to ruin your crescendo. Yeah. And you got to play your opponent like a tin drum. That's incredible. I like that very much.
Yeah, we've heard of chess boxing. This is the next one that's gonna hit it big.
So good. That's so good.
I was thinking like, I don't know why I thought this one. Swimming, but you're required to sing throughout. So you just get these like snatches of songs that go in and out of the water.
But again, like you can make it a team, right? Because like a barbershop quartet have got very careful timing and all the rest of it for where they come in and which parts of the melody they do. So you could combine synchronized swimming with song.
I do like the idea of kind of a male voice choir doing that while doing synchronized swimming at the same time.
And how much more would that please Almighty God, honestly? I feel like religious music could really, like all music, but also particularly, like that would be the new apogee of human achievement. Forget, okay, like I will grant you that castrating people so that they retain those high notes is high effort to go to, and no doubt he on high is most pleased, but this is an alternative avenue.
Yeah. I just thought, like, as well, when you, you know, they play the national anthems when they come in at the Olympic opening ceremony and stuff. It'd be great if the musicians slash athletes were playing that themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to play professional football or whatever unless you are also part of the marching band that plays the anthem as you come on. And we can
And you're the cheerleading squad.
Also, during halftime. And we can finally do away with the rivalry between football jocks and band kids.
Yeah, they're one and the same.
Everyone's included.
You'll get a scholarship to college in America based on either your athletic or now your musical prowess, because that's needed for the sport.
Or you have to be both. It's not competitive enough. These young people aren't dealing with enough pressure, and I vote we just keep adding hoops they've got to jump through.
My final one, just for the Olympics, was all sailing events are now crewed by people singing sea shanties.
Yes, I wanted to work sea shanties in here somehow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that, like, as they hoist the mainsail and, you know, tack off and stuff, they're all singing together and it'd be just so atmospheric.
It would be, yeah, way cooler, I think, because it's part of the... You hear stories from the old Olympics, like the old stuff. Like, I remember a guy... I don't know any details about this, so good luck to anybody trying to look this up. I'm sorry. Google will probably help you. It's like he lost his shoes or something. And so he found a couple of mismatched shoes, like, in a dumpster. And then proceeded to win a gold medal or something in some sort of running event, you know?
Gosh, yeah, I think I do remember.
Because this
is
like back in 1918 or something, when just nothing mattered.
No.
Sport hadn't reached the same level. Like back when, didn't we already talk in a prior episode about like some kind of race? No, it was a marathon, a terribly mismanaged Boston Marathon.
I think it was 1904, where just like everything went wrong.
They were like, what happens if we dehydrate everybody on purpose?
And then they all inhaled dust and were chased by wild dogs. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, it was just so much more unpredictable. These days it's more like, okay, what human rights atrocities are going to be perpetrated in the construction of the stadium? And,
yes.
You know, and that adds a little bit of interest and unpredictability, I'll grant you. But it's not quite the same. The sports have become too clinical, it's awful, frankly. It's awful and shouldn't be encouraged. But I like the idea that it was more wacky racist style, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you weren't so pushed to the edge of human endurance from such a young age. Like, if a dude could just be like, I run pretty fast, I'll give it a go. Ah, shoot, forgot my shoes. I'll try it with these and then win gold. Then, like, how bad can it be, you know?
Yeah, I just wrapped my feet in duct tape and I won. It was fun.
Yeah, jumps again. It's just like, fun way to spend a Saturday.
Yeah.
I might come back next year. I don't know. I'll see.
I do like the idea that, like in sports, obviously, when you hit about 35, 40, you're pretty much out of it for most sports. And so the natural progression is to become a sports commentator and to appear on, like, you know, just Match of the Day or whatever and give your opinion about what the sports people of today are doing about things. But that would also apply for musicians. So you're 35, you're over the hill, time to retire, you can't compete anymore.
Yep.
And so you're just like becoming a musical commentator, like, ooh, that was a bad note. Ooh, they really messed up that one.
Yeah, there'd be scope for it suddenly, because like music review blogger and stuff, like these are, you know, things that have become more popular as careers maybe. And there's a lot more like independent musicians now, obviously, because internet. But yeah, the music commentator, that's an untapped market, really.
And I was also thinking about the Super Bowl. So, obviously in the Super Bowl, there's always a musical performance in the big halftime show by famous artists.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking if we want to change it up a bit, let's apply that template to any and every public event possible. So, for example, you're halfway through watching Dunkirk at the cinema.
Right.
There's an intermission. and Madonna rocks up to belt out Like a Virgin for a few minutes, and then there's a quick break for everyone to go to the loo, and then you carry on watching Dunkirk.
I'm bored.
You're halfway through the inauguration of our next monarch. There'll be an intermission just before they put the crown on, and Cliff Richard turns up, and he does Summer Holiday, and then he buggers off again.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Why the heck not? I mean, these musicians, they need things to do. And we need entertainment. Let's just, like, I did a certain amount of, like, ordering catering and stuff for, like, corporate events. And you come to realize that there's some templates. It's like, okay, how long is the meeting? Okay, you've got to cater it. Or like, nah, that one's too short. I just get, like, some bottled water and, like, maybe some boiled sweets or whatever for the table, you know? Yeah. Like, what time of day is it? Ah, that's a breakfast one. Okay, you're going to need a breakfast buffet sort of thing. So there's, like, some expectations. You need, like, an air-conditioned room. You need this amount of catering, etc. What we need is now the next level expectation, which is like, okay, how long is the meeting? Ooh, 3 hours? You're going to need 2 musical intermissions, at least 5 minutes each. Ideally separate different artists, you know, just for variety.
And what I'd like is also for concerts, like musical concerts, to have musical intermissions as well.
Yes.
Like, oh, this is a long 3-hour concert. Jeez, this is going to carry on a while. So you're like halfway through a heavy metal concert and then there's a quick intermission. Katy Perry turns up to perform California Girls and then you carry on.
Yeah, you got like the warm-up acts, you got the openers, and then you got the main guys, but then like before it can sour, before you can get bored of them, just a bit of a palate cleanser, and then we'll get right back to the hard rock in a minute.
Or to just really take away the momentum, just hard cut to a completely different kind of, yeah, quite cheesy mainstream genre.
But then you're that much happier when the band that you came to see, paid extortionate amounts to see, bought the t-shirt for, when they finally come back, you're super thrilled. You get that moment twice. You're like, oh, they're finally on. And they're like, they're back again. Oh, thank God. Every time.
Yeah.
That's what you're paying for, really, is that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. And it would open up the idea of a lot more house musicians, but then like the office fiddler, you know, in like a smaller office, you know, a larger corporate would be able to afford like several office bands on a rotation. But like a smaller place maybe just has like, yeah, a guy with a violin.
Maybe kind of receptionists double up now as musicians.
Yes, there'd be a kind of like, depending on how well the economy's doing, they'd either be separate roles and you have both, or like, you know, like with the decline of the aristocracy, like Downton Abbey style, it started to be like, you know, what's this? Like, I'm looking for a new position and they want me to do the duties of a valet and a footman? What is this? Ridiculous, right? And it's like, well, times are hard. I can't field a staff of 36 the way I used to, so we had to condense.
You could have, if you were, you know, really doing well, instead of hold music, you've just got your house band.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I'm just going to have to put you on hold for a minute. And you just hold up the phone.
You just slot it into the dock next to the like bassists. Yeah. Very good. Okay, well, look, we talked about kind of changing the economy. We've talked about making playing music more difficult because now it has to be combined with sport or whatever. Another way that music has changed is the instruments. So they've gotten, obviously, the electric guitar is a far cry from the original guitar. Stuff like mandolins and whatnot have like largely fallen out of favor, except in certain specific genres and like sort of historical recreation stuff. And now we have this whole new brand of electronic like instrument, quote unquote. Like you get self-contained stuff like, you know what a theremin is?
Yes, where you hold your hands near it and it goes woo.
Yes, super weird. Like a musical saw, but even weirder, and it just interprets your hand positions. Very strange. And I don't even know what a synthesizer is, but I remember when I was taught music in high school, it was like classified as an instrument. But I'm pretty sure these days it's just like a subsection of what like music production software will do for you. It's all getting kind of, you know, the same way that like probably there's a name for each different type of brush that an artist would use, probably like a fan brush and then, you know, round-ended and, you know, fine-tip, etc. I'm sure they all have names and the special materials they're made of and everything, but like Photoshop includes all those brushes and more, and like there's kind of no point naming them anymore because it's just like arrangements of pixels. That's
right.
Kind of how music has gone in a bunch of more electronic genres, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
And to that I say nay. basically. Let's just remove all of that because it's just getting far too mushy and hard to understand. And frankly, I can't tell who's a good musician anymore with these new genres because if...
You sound so old.
I know. And I'm embracing it. I'm embracing it to the extent that what I really want to listen to is like, not even a chap with a banjo, but like a guy playing the balloon banjo, you know? And a girl smacking a box with a stick. Like, I want all music...
What's a balloon banjo?
A balloon banjo is... I don't even know how... I don't know whether this exists outside of the realm of a specific YouTube video I saw untold eons ago. And it's literally... One guy sat on a wooden box, which is slapping like a drum, and the other guy playing the quote-unquote balloon banjo, and it's a balloon that he's like mostly deflated and has like stretched the neck out and twisted it between his fingers, and he is plucking it, and it's, you know, making a note, and but he's like twisting his fingers to change the length of the balloon as he twangs it, and that is making different notes. And, you know, he's using the balloon itself, the inflated bit, as like a resonant chamber. And it is eerily good, the music they're able to produce.
That's so weird.
Yeah, super weird. And I'd like more of it. I want all music played on found instruments only.
Right. Okay. Not even ones that you've made. Just things that you find.
Provided they're not made out of existing instruments, you know? Like, if you've spray painted your electric guitar, that doesn't count. You know, but like there's a spectrum.
Yeah, you want like pebbles clank, like clonging together.
Yeah, like conkers that you've tied together counts as a made found instrument. That's fine, but nothing that previously was, like, you know what I mean? You'd have to find ways to regulate it, I'm sure.
This sounds like the folkiest folk. It's like the idea of fruitarians, which I don't think really exists, but it's kind of a joke that it's like, oh, we only eat things which have fallen from the tree naturally.
Oh, I thought they did exist. I could be wrong.
I've always assumed it was kind of a joke because who would do that? And also they'd be so malnourished. But anyway, but this feels like the fruitarian of music.
Yes, like we mustn't harm anything in order to create instruments. We're gonna, to be honest, it could tie in really well with, have you heard of the garbage picking samurai?
I guess everyone's heard of the garbage picking samurai, but please, for the listeners, elaborate.
I don't want to assume. Okay, so there is a troupe of street performers / street cleaners in Japan. Apparently they're all like trained actors, and they dress as samurai, and they do all that swooshy swooshy like maneuvering of katanas, except they're not katanas, they're like clacky clacky grabby tongs, and they're picking up like cans and stuff off the street and putting them in bins that they carry on their backs. Yeah, it's amazing to watch, and they're cleaning the streets, and they're like glamorizing cleaning up the streets, which is great, so super cool. And in a world where there's so much trash, and there's all these people like... this whole like brands of shoe or whatever that you can get that's like made of ocean garbage and so on, right? Mm-hmm. Why not? Let's get instruments made out of that and only allow those, and that'll really incentivize the cleanup operations that are so crucial.
I'm not sure we can get the music industry on board with this, to be honest.
I think we have to demand it as consumers all together.
Regulation.
Yeah, we start with boycotting, and then yeah,
I'm going to boycott all music that is made with actual instruments. I've not got a lot to listen to at the moment, but I'm going to get there. It's pretty much just a cappella is all you're left
just
with.
Just listen to us, dear listeners, over and over, and together we can make a change.
Yeah, we're like music to your ears.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, to go on a tangent, we could actually change musical notation itself.
Ooh.
I think it's too complicated, and it's creating barriers to new musicians because it's difficult to learn.
You have to learn it, yeah. Boof.
All these like letters and the symbols, like the you know quavers and semiquavers and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. You've got sharps, you've got flats, different tempos. It's too much. So instead, we've got some options. We reduce the number of notes. We don't really need all of those. We could just stick with A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Good enough for us.
Or make it metric. Like, it's just some kind of old-fashioned, imperial kind of, like, I don't understand. Notes 1 through 10, and then maybe subdivide those into 10.
Well, you could have 1.5,
yeah.
2.5.
As long as it's, you know,
for the sharps
linear
and flats.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or you just use a tab for everything. So like guitar tab, it like shows you where to put your fingers on the guitar strings to make the different notes.
Yeah.
But you just have tab for like a bassoon or a harp, where it's just like these incredibly complex diagrams, like you put your fingers here, but for every single note.
Those might exist as like, I've never tried to learn the harp. Like I can imagine tab for the harp. It would just like take up a lot more space on the page because there's so many more strings.
The harp makes sense. Probably not the bassoon, or like definitely not a trumpet, because that's all about like you've only got three buttons, and then the rest of it you're trying to do with your mouth. You've got to change the pitch with your mouth.
I think the didgeridoo might be the ultimate like untabbable instrument.
But the kazoo. I don't think anyone's writing music for the didgeridoo, are they?
Well, that's a good point. I've no idea how you represent the didgeridoo in traditional notation as well, but I take your point. No more traditional notation.
Just write down ori, 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 ori on the page.
We're very ignorant. I don't want to assume. I think there's a lot of skill to playing a didgeridoo well.
Oh, and there's a lot of skill, but I don't think it's... I think it's kind of free-flowing. I don't think you could, like, say, this is the didgeridoo song I am going to play.
You could be right. You could be right.
Or, okay, so to go the other way, right, we want to find some more notes for songs, right?
The secret forbidden notes.
We're only using A through G. That's the rest of the alphabet left to
just
discover.
Just like we're only using 10% of our brains. It's criminal.
Exactly. And maybe if we can unlock those notes, it might help unlock the 90% of our brains, which we are definitely, definitely not using.
Yeah, or we might have to unlock our brains so we can find those extra notes. But there's definitely a synergy there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, we just need to rethink, how restrictive our definition of music is.
That's true, because also I know so little about music, and as someone listening to this is just going to be hating it with every fiber of their being, I'm sure. yeah. And so this is dedicated to you, this episode. But there's like the allowed notes, and then there's all these notes that are wrong, right? Like it's possible to be off key. And I'm sorry, where do you get off telling me that I'm off key? You just decided that a certain key was correct, and now the notes I'm producing, which are perfectly fine, are like not right. That seems very, like in the world of art, we have determined that an unmade bed is a powerful statement. You can't now tell me you got to stick to these notes and this tempo and this notion of what sounds harmonic. What if I am trying to evoke an emotional response through my carefully arranged discords?
Yeah. Because, you've got A and then, A sharp, and you have these A, B, and then you've got the ones in between, which are flat and sharps. But what about, surely there's ones in between the flat and the original note.
Yeah.
Like, why are they off the table?
I assume that
presumably because they
invisible.
Don't sound very nice, but presumably it's like if you get used to it, maybe it would sound okay.
This genre probably already exists, or there's probably already a term for like experimental like non-music. But I say we blow it up. It's clearly not popular enough. It's not even a category on Spotify. We should stop teaching kids traditional notation and see what they come up with, because they are the future.
Yeah, that's a point. Yeah, how much of music is dictated to us by society? What would happen if we just let a load of kind of blank slate kids in a room with a load of instruments? I'm imagining it would definitely be the next Mozart.
I mean, he was a kid when he started, right?
Exactly.
So by our own admission, children are capable of amazing things.
Yeah, they could invent a piano from scratch, but with different notes.
So there's an industry to be created here where only children are allowed to produce music.
Yes, and there's no room for exploitation in that, so we've nailed it.
Yeah. If you wanted to do it ethically, which I guess you could, you'd have to be very careful about it. But the thing is, producing music is a joyful thing, done for the right reasons. And kids do it in school, and nobody's recording and monetizing that. So that's just a revenue stream going straight out the window. You could just record. God, I don't like this segment anymore. I was about to suggest that like kids are already making the most beautiful music. You could just record kids laughing at play and listen to that.
Oh,
and now
no.
I'm like, don't do that. Don't take any recording equipment anywhere near children playing.
One safeguard issue. Two, that'd be so creepy.
Yeah.
Just like there are some songs which have like kids laughing in it, and they're always creepy. It's always really weird.
That's very true. Children are terrifying. So I rescind that. Don't do this at home. Hypotheticals is in no way liable for or affiliated with any attempt to record children in any capacity.
In fact, please delete all recordings that you have at home of anything, and also destroy all of your electronic devices so that you can never listen to us again.
Whatever you're listening in, just put it on the ground, stomp on it, and then you're safe. But do like and subscribe, and see you next episode.
Like and subscribe just before you do that.
Yeah, if you'd be so good. Okay, no, let's get off that tangent. That's awful. What about I've changed my mind, Annie. I was all for low tech, like new found instruments, rocks and sticks. No, that's nonsense. I see now the error of my ways. In fact, we need greater sophistication. Everybody's got, you know, high fidelity headphones these days. Everything's like Bluetooth and whatever. It's only a matter of time before we have implants. But in the meantime, why are we limiting the experience of music to our ears?
Right.
Because true music, right, the real experience, the soulful, like, real... I didn't even have the words for it, and that shows just how powerful it is. That is felt, like, within, in different areas of the body, you know? Like, the bass drops, and you might get a... You know, your stomach drops, or you get a tingle all over, or something. People are listening to music for some reason, Andy. I can't fathom what it is for the life of me. But presumably, those are reactions you could stimulate electrically in people's bodies with the new eye harness.
Oh, okay.
Right? Hook that up to your iPhone, and it'll just, you know, like zap bits of you in tune to the beat. And
right, to kind of simulate the bass.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, that does kind of... That could work.
I think it could.
Yeah, because like, I remember going to a concert in Bristol, which was like an open-air concert with Bonobo. Don't know if you heard of them.
I've not.
But it's quite bass-heavy music. And like...
So it's not just like, Bono playing an oboe.
It is not Bono playing an oboe. Okay. But, no, I wouldn't pay to watch that, actually, but that would be funny. I've got this great new money-making scheme. No, stop it, Bono. Yeah, that's copyright infringement. Yes, so I went to the concert, and yeah, the bass was like, it's so different to listening on your phone or whatever. The bass, you could feel like every single time. It was like coming up through the floor.
Right.
And you, like your whole body was like vibrating, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
If you could recreate that without like the deafening sound.
Yes.
That would be a hit, I think.
Exactly, yeah, because our puny little headphones plugged into our phones, or like playing something out loud on your phone, why are you doing it on the bus? Stop it, we don't need to hear it, and the sound quality is terrible. Yeah, you're not getting that experience, which only very expensive giant speakers, which will destroy your relationship with your neighbours, can possibly give you that.
And possibly your house as well, the foundations might fall.
There's a chart. Imagine like the day that they finally find a way to like really intensely soundproof your house so that only you can hear the deafening concert going on, and just like incidences of what is it called, like subsidence.
Yeah, you just fall through. The whole house just falls
straight
through
into the basement flat because he was playing his speakers at the same time super loud, and they're like the resonant frequencies. There was like constructive interference as a problem. Anyway, so that we don't get to that stage, more personal. Yeah, like attached to your own body, or you know, swallowed and used within. Perhaps this is always one step short of drugs, which was my other idea, and I'm kind of on the fence about it because I know that people already take drugs to go to like clubs or raves or concerts or whatever to like experience the music in a different way. So it's not really anything new, but like maybe we could find specific drugs that maybe have fewer side effects. Just to stimulate synesthesia, say, you know, so that every concert becomes like Fantasia. You're just like watching your own like animated visualization of the notes.
I mean, I'm less on board with that one.
Yeah.
If we can avoid drugging people, that's a good thing. But I do like the eye harness because it would have a genuine like good effect in that it would give deaf people more exposure to music.
Yes.
So like there are deaf musicians, some of whom were born deaf, and generally that it's like there's one famous woman, I can't remember her name, but she's a drummer, so she just feels the vibrations like through when she strikes the drum or when like up through the floor.
That's so cool.
And that's how she like tells, you know, how the music is going and like how she enjoys it. So like if you can simulate that with this harness or like a device that you put on, then you can you can experience music through the vibration directly through you rather than actually listening to
yeah.
it. So obviously that'd be great for the deaf community.
It'd be super cool. And it would preserve, you know, because people, every day, people are blowing out their eardrums, listening to heavy metal or whatever genre it is that summons Satan. To the kids, you know, it's too loud. Grr, I hate it. And this way, you can enjoy music safely with no audio whatsoever and just some gentle electrolysis of your muscles yeah. and organs.
I'm just thinking, right, so, you know when someone gets on, you know, on the bus and they're like blaring out music really loudly on their phone and you're like, I hate you so
much. Oh, with a fiery passion.
In this version, you see someone get on the bus, it's completely silent, but they are vibrating. Just,
you're
just
like, is that their phone? Why don't they answer it? But no, it's them.
It's their whole body. And they're like, they're visibly like, there's a shimmer around them, like, because they're vibrating so quickly and they're like throbbing with the beat. It's like, what is happening to that person?
Yeah, but you know, one day when it's just everyone on the bus or the tube or whatever, it's just the normality. Like, you don't like it, plug in your own eye harness and, you know, buzz to your own beat.
Or you could get like noise cancelling harnesses where it like cancels out the other vibrations.
It's just like a puffer jacket, I think. Just like a big, thick like item of clothing around you. Not good for warmer climates, but...
No.
Yeah, they could figure something out. It could be a whole new thing, I'm sure. Okay, I'll take you one further, right? We got the eye harness for experiencing just the vibrations, but then also... What about, and I mean, that's without even, you know, like injecting adrenaline at opportune moments or whatever. I think we already covered this back when we were talking about how to revolutionize cinema, which is another thing that we fixed forever. but the experience of making music is itself enjoyable, right? Like, we like singing more than, like, people who are bad at singing, like, not great at singing, and I'm including myself in this number, enjoy the act of singing probably more than they would enjoy listening to other people who aren't great at singing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, the act of creation, it's like when you're making most people discover this in childhood, I think, and then like, it's part of the great social contract of adulthood that we don't all make annoying noises all the time. But you know, when kids haven't like clocked that yet and they're just kicking the thing on the train over and over, or they're going bap, 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 or whatever, because it's not annoying to you, the one making it. Anyway, all of this to say, making music is fun, hence the popularity of Guitar Hero and so on. So what do? We could learn to make music, but at too much effort, what can we sell people as a quick fix? And the answer is a special exoskeleton that will carefully, like, arrange their... You know what I mean? You put your hands in these dexterous gloves, and then you sit in front of the piano, or you wouldn't even need the piano, really... But okay, for Elisa, you know, or like Symphony Number 5, let's go. And then their suit starts making the movements, like playing the piano, but you're inside it. You feel like you're doing it.
Right. Because like, there used to be these like automatons where they'd like, they would look like a person and then they're like, look, it plays the piano.
Ah.
But in this version, the automaton is you.
Yeah, you're within the automaton. Where do you
trapped
end?
Forever playing piano.
Yeah.
in this shopping mall.
I think that'd be fun. I'd pay for, like, you know the way you pay a couple of quid to sit in a massage chair in a shopping center?
Yeah.
I'd pay a couple of, or like your kid, you'll pay for your kid to sit in one of those like chairs that go, like a little toy car or whatever that goes up and down. Yeah. I'd pay for a few minutes in the Musictron, like strumming a guitar.
And there'd be people like the people who buy tapes to listen to while you go to sleep in order to learn French or whatever. Mm-hmm. There'd be people who go, well, if I just am in this thing constantly, I'll know how to play piano.
Yeah.
while I sleep.
So they just lie in bed in this suit and then it just starts like strumming and fingering and they just need to nod off like as best they can. Maybe pop a sleeping pill. It all comes back to pills, sadly.
Yeah, just like, oh, time for a nap. You sit down at your piano. Like, here we go. Like, you play a little lullaby and you fall asleep as it's playing to yourself.
And it doesn't need to have, like, unless you want it to teach you to sing as well, but that's a lot more complicated, I think. So your head would be, it would, like, stop at the shoulders. your head would be popping out. Yeah. Unless it's a harmonica or something. Yeah, let's forget about woodwind. This is stuff you play with your hands. I haven't envisioned the next generation yet. So your head is popping out of the suit, and then the rest of you is just encased in this like space marine armor that is busy playing the banjo or whatever. Yeah. But your head is just like lolling to one side, like you're drooling slightly, just like... but then the suit is strumming away. It'd be so intimidating.
It's like the wrong trousers in Wallace and Gromit,
exactly.
Where he's just asleep.
Yeah, but he's like climbing the walls and like performing a diamond heist, but he's asleep the whole time. Spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen Wallace and Gromit, the wrong trousers. Do recommend.
The thing from like 20, 25 years ago, yeah.
Easily, yeah. It's because it's actually quite a bit older, I think. I don't know, is it 90s, early 90s? I don't know. Who cares? We're talking about music. Anyway, yeah, that's my ultimate solution. Suits... that play you.
Well, we've done it. right, so yeah, all of that, copyright, trademark,
us.
All rights reserved. Yep. Me, us.
OC,
us.
Do yes. not steal. Yep. We'll know.
Right. Now that we've said that, we're covered, so whew.
Ah, excellent.
That was the Hypotheticals podcast. Adriano, where can people find us online?
We're all over the place, Andy.
Oh, we're everywhere. Everywhere.
That's right. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Just search for Hypotheticals. That is Hypotheticals, the weird way we spell it, but without the R.
Yes. And if you would like to leave us a rating on a podcast app of your choice, be that Acast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, whatever they may take some digging, but if you could leave us a 5-star rating, it would mean that we would get more than at least 5 listeners.
We would love you so, so much. And please, why not tell a friend who might enjoy listening to our dulcet tones. And we will see you next time.
Bye!
Old school, yeah, jazz age stuff. So, like, your character's skills are determined by their profession as opposed to their class. So you can be, like, a flapper, or like a socialite, or like a private investigator, or whatever.
Yeah, the person who puts the flaps on. Is that what a flapper is?
That's exactly it, yeah. Like, any kind of flap needs, like, your cat flap, your, like...
Yep. Aeroplane flaps.
A letterbox counts as a flap, technically. So, yeah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, they mostly do cat flaps in aeroplanes. That's their jam.
Mostly, yeah.
That's the bread and butter.